Psalm 118 and Mark chapter 12. Psalm 118 and Mark 12. The message this morning is the rejected stone is the chief cornerstone. The rejected stone is the chief head cornerstone. Psalm 118, we'll read two verses, verses 22 and 23, and then we'll turn to Mark 12. Psalm 118, 22 and 23. The psalmist says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," or literally in the Hebrew, the head of the corner. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Mark 12. Two verses. Verses 10 and 11. Mark 12, 10 and 11. Our Lord has just closed the parable we looked at in recent weeks, the parable of the wicked tenants. He just finished giving the parable, and now He's going to interpret it and apply it by quoting Psalm 118. Verse 10. "Have you not read the scripture?" Literally, have you never, ever even read or understood this scripture? "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the head capstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." The story goes that George and Mabel planned this big garage sale, and the day came and they were clearing out most things, but one of the last things they had for sale that hadn't sold was a dusty old framed picture of a landscape and a woman in a field, and no one would buy the picture for $20. They lowered it to $10, still no takers. Finally, the day is ending, the garage sale's over, so they put a new price tag on this picture, $5. Not worth much to them. They'd rather get $5 than put it back in the attic or even throw it away. So they finally get $5 for it. And a month later, they're watching an antiques auction program on television. Mabel sees their picture and says, "George, come here, look, it's our picture." And they listen in shock and disbelief, and with sickening regret, they realize that their $5 reject is an $800,000 Rembrandt. The highly valued was rejected as nothing. Now, this parable that precedes our text and this quote from Psalm 118 is that exact reality. This metaphor or word picture Jesus uses here from Psalm 118, he quotes when he says, "Have you not read this scripture? The stone. The metaphor or word picture is used. The stone imagery, Jesus quoting Psalm 118 is quoting about Himself as being the meaning and the interpretation of the parable He's just given these Jewish leaders. So in this text, verses 10 and 11, what do we have here? Well, we have the stone. We have the builders. we have the rejected stone becoming the chief cornerstone. We have this phrase, it is the Lord's doing. And then we have the heart's response of some people that says, it is marvelous in our eyes. The rejected stone becomes the head cornerstone. So let's think through this today and see how the Lord Jesus was applying this to these builders who were hearing Him, and how He applies it to all today who have this stone set before them by way of truth, by way of the Bible, by way of history, this stone set before them to see what the response will be. There's only one of two responses, right? There is no neutrality toward this stone. Who is who? Jesus Christ, the Lord. There's no neutrality. He said, he who is not for me is what? Against me. He who is not against me is one who is truly for me. There is no neutrality with Jesus Christ. He is either rejected or he is rejoiced in and marveled at by those who believe. So, what do we have here? First of all, we have the stone. Have you never read the scripture, the stone, the stone? He didn't say a stone. He said the stone. Christ is referring to Himself. Jesus Christ is setting before this audience. He's setting Himself as the stone. Why? Because this stone imagery, this stone word picture is very extensive in the Old and New Testament referring to Him. So I want you to refer to your Bibles this morning. I'm going to have you turn to a few, not all of them, but I want you to be able to see these at this fact that Jesus Christ is pictured in all the Bible as this stone, this chief stone. For instance, in Isaiah 8, you don't need to turn there, but I noticed this week for the first time ever with reference to the New Testament meaning. Isaiah 8, 13 and 14 says this. Isaiah says, but the Lord of hosts, Him you shall honor as holy. Let Him be your fear. The Lord of hosts, Him you're to honor as holy. Let Him be your fear. He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense. The Lord of hosts is going to become a stone of offense, a rock of stumbling to the house of Israel, and many will stumble upon it. So that's Isaiah. But you go on to Romans 9, turn there, Romans 9, and you see the New Testament writers, both Paul, after the Lord Jesus, Paul and Peter, take up this imagery that Isaiah prophesied about. Romans 9, verses 32 and 33. Paul says it there. He says in verse 32 about Israel's pursuit of righteousness that they couldn't attain by works. He says, why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Now Paul says the same kind of thing in Ephesians 2:20 when he says this, that the gospel, the church, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being what? The chief cornerstone. This is apostolic theme through the New Testament. Christ is made the sure foundation and the chief cornerstone. Now turn to 1 Peter 2, please. By the way, don't ever not bring your Bible to church. I'm not thinking of anyone. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm glad I brought mine, and I'm glad you brought yours if you brought it. 1 Peter 2. Peter draws on this. Now, Peter, we're going to see earlier, this isn't the first time Peter uses this language about the cornerstone, but here, in a glorious passage, he uses it in chapter 2, verses 6 and following. He says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Peter says in the Authorized Version, "Unto you that believe, He is precious, this cornerstone." So, it's very obvious the Lord Jesus Christ is expounding and interpreting and applying from this parable. He draws Psalm 118 and he says, this is what I'm talking about. This is the meaning of it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the head cornerstone of the whole temple, the real temple of God. Here is the capstone for all of it that brings it all together. The stone. The stone. That the builders, he refers next to the builders, verse 10. Who are the builders? The Jewish leaders, right? The Jewish leaders. The men who had come as a big band, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, the number of priests. Remember, a number of them, scribes, Pharisees, lawyers, had gathered to confront Him, and then He gives that parable. They wanted to know, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And so, then He says, well, you answer this question and I'll answer yours. John's baptism. From heaven or just of men? Well, we don't know. Well, I won't answer your question then. Then He gives the parable of the tenants, showing the willful, persistent, wicked rejection over long time of the servants of the landowner and finally his son. Should they honor him? Absolutely. Did they? No, they killed him. They crucified him. And Jesus ends the parable and then He says, have you never read? It's like He's saying, you guys don't have a clue about the very Old Testament that you supposedly are experts about. Have you never even read that the stone the builders rejected, the stone David is talking about, the stone that you builders rejected is the head cornerstone? They hadn't gotten it. They should have seen. They should have recognized. They should have known. They should have welcomed that He was the true King of the Jews, that He was the Messiah of Israel. Think about it. The Jews, after thousands of years of waiting, watching, anticipating, reading messianic prophecies in the synagogue every Sabbath, quoting the promises, wanting a new Moses deliverer, wanting the final prophet and the Messiah King, anticipating, and the prophets one after another, over hundreds of years coming, declaring, one's coming. There's one who's coming. The righteous branch, the despised servant. There's one who's coming. And finally, in the fullness of time, the last Old Testament prophet, New Testament prophet, John the Baptist, shows up. What does he say? He's here. Look, behold, He's here. He's arrived. He came to His own and His own received Him not. The builders rejected the very chief central stone for the true temple of God. After thousands of years of messianic expectation, they rejected their own Messiah. Isn't that astounding to realize? And guess what? They still do. generally speaking. Oh, there's been thousands, probably, I don't know how many, tens of thousands of Jews come to faith in their Messiah over the years. And there may be yet a great ingathering of elect Jews from every nation where they're scattered. But in general, the builders, the leaders, the nation of Israel rejected the cornerstone. So, here's the builders. The stone is rejected. Rejected. Jesus draws the picture in quoting Psalm 118, which tells that stone, that psalm tells of one stone which had been brought to the building site for Solomon's temple, and it's there to be used. And the builders, what was their evaluation after looking at that stone and examining it? What was their evaluation of that stone? No, not right. Not usable. Just throw it over on the pile for the cleanup. And that stone was rejected as unfit for the temple. But guess what? The flaw was not in the stone. The flaw was in the eye of the builder. There is such beauty and perfection and attraction and glory and wonder and amazement and awesomeness and marvelous, give me more words, I'm at a loss, in Jesus Christ, and blinded eyes can see nothing attractive. The stone rejected. The Jews, the amazing reality, those who rejected that stone did not see, they would not see, that the rejected stone was the perfect one for God's eternal and redemptive temple. The stone the expert builders had rejected was the very one that would hold everything together. You see, the Jews' view was this. We have favor with God. We have acceptance with Jehovah through Moses, through keeping the law, through our heritage, our Jewish lineage. We be children of Abraham. We were never in bondage to anyone. Well, no, except 400 years in Egypt. You forgot that. We have righteousness in our ceremonies, our sacrifices, our rituals, our outward, external, religious trappings. We are accepted by God through our religion. But the irony was, there was no access or righteousness before God in all they accepted, but full access in the one they rejected. Isn't that amazing? You want to get in that building? There's one door. And there's healing and there's salvation and there's life in it. But we don't lock that door. We'll build a ladder and we'll somehow get in some other way. The stone rejected, Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Peter reinforces this to the Jewish leaders in his sermon in Acts 4. Peter in Acts 4, when he preaches, he remembers Jesus' words from this event, this day. And he quotes Jesus, who quoted David the first time. And Peter says in Acts 4, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. He looks at those Jews in Acts 4. After the resurrection, and the Jewish leaders are persecuting he and John. He looks at them and he says, this stone was rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. Outright rejection it was. It wasn't mild rejection. It wasn't partial rejection. It was outright, hateful, eyes open wide, willful, blind rejection of Him. They rejected Him as even being a good man. They said He's a deceiver. And He does His works by the prince of darkness, Beelzebub. They rejected His mighty acts and His miracles. They rejected His powerful sermons and His gracious words. After they heard the gracious words in the synagogue at Nazareth that first Sunday, what did they end up doing? They wanted to kill Him. They wanted to throw Him off the cliff. They rejected His gracious words. They rejected and despised His kindness to sinners, His welcoming of harlots, His forgiving of Zacchaeus, the wicked tax collector who had cheated so many. They rejected His interpretation of the Old Testament. They rejected Him in His person as being Messiah and as being God. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. The stone rejected by the builders has become what? Oh, here's a note of joy. Here's the gladness. Here's the end of the story. Paul Harvey, the stone that was rejected by the builders has become the chief cornerstone, the capstone of the entire temple. He's the central figure. He's the one. It's all about Him. The only stone that was that perfectly works as the capstone for the whole temple of God and the whole redemptive purpose of God through all history is this one, the Son that was rejected and killed by the wicked tenants and is accused and finally crucified by the Jewish builders. He is the chief cornerstone, the head perfect stone upon which everything in God's kingdom is built. Anyone's hope of salvation and forgiveness and hope of heaven is centered on, built upon, cast upon this one stone, Jesus Christ. And if you're going to find it, you're going to find it in Him and nowhere else. Forget your religion. Forget your works. Forget being good. Children, you ought to obey mom and dad every day. But don't you have any idea in your mind that if you're a good boy and a good girl and you obey mommy and daddy, you're gaining favor with God. You're better in His eyes. No. You have one hope. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You finding refuge in Him. You are a sinner in need of a Savior and you better get to that stone, Jesus Christ. Or there is no hope. So, verse 11, look at it again. The next phrase says this, "This was the Lord's doing." This was the Lord's doing. The rejection turns to reversal. The rejected stone becomes the chief cornerstone upon which everything, your salvation, your hope of forgiveness, your hope of heaven, the church of Jesus Christ, the gospel triumphing in the world, all of it is built on this stone. And this stone is highly exalted. This is the Lord's doing. Now this phrase, "this is the Lord's doing," can have two meanings. And they're so closely connected that both have to be true. But it's not exactly sure if the writer meant one thing or the other. But both are true. Here's the meaning. The two meanings in the original language are this. This is the Lord's, number one, this is the Lord's doing, meaning this stone came from the Lord. This stone was sent by Jehovah. He came from heaven. He was provided by the Lord of hosts. He came from, He was sent by Jehovah. He came directly from the Father. This stone that was rejected was divinely sent to be a rejected stone, an exalted stone. He was rejected by men, but in the sight of God is most precious. This stone, the Christ, came from the Lord of hosts. That's the first possible meaning, and it's true. The second meaning, this was the Lord's doing. All of it. Every bit of it. His coming. His being sent. His being here. His being rejected and treated this way. His finally being exalted, becoming the chief cornerstone. It's all divine. It's all from the Lord. It's all the divine purpose. And Peter, think of his words at Pentecost. I referred to his sermon in Acts 2, a few weeks earlier. Peter does it again. He shows the Jews in that Acts 2 sermon at Pentecost that this rejected Nazarene was none other than God's Son, Messiah, the cornerstone. Here's Peter's words on the day of Pentecost. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty words, mighty wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. They knew it. They know, and listen, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you know the truth. You know it. You cannot claim excuse. You cannot say, I'm ignorant, I don't know. You know that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. You know there's salvation in no other place but in Him. You know it. And you will sin willfully against that knowledge if you reject Him. Peter said, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And God raised Him up. This Jesus God raised up, being exalted to the right hand of God. Let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ, who you have crucified. This is all the Lord's doing. All of it. And then look what verse 11 also says next. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Is that true of you today? This word, it's marvelous in our eyes. It's the idea to wonder at, to be amazed at. This truth, this news, this reality, this experience that stops you in your tracks and takes your breath away and transforms everything as far as how you see it. It's marvelous. You wonder at it. You're in awe of it. You marvel at it. It's marvelous in our eyes. Every true Christian can say, this gospel, this Savior, what He did for me, what He is, who He is, it's marvelous in my eyes, it's marvelous in my sight. Our eyes, it's marvelous in our eyes. Our eyes. You see, the true Christian has seen something very specific that's transformed their whole life. It's not just knowing something, it's seeing something. The true Christian sees the glory and the marvel and the wonder that Christ crucified, buried, and risen again is the exalted Lord and King, and He will forgive sinners freely and love them freely, just as they are. The true Christian sees wonder in that. Sees the supernatural reality of it. Their eyes are open. And you know what happens when their eyes are open to that? Spiritual reality and light floods in their mind and their heart. And it's like their soul is filled with light for the first time. And they see the reality of these things. Maybe they never had before. I was blind, but now I see. Now, Jesus was just a stranger to me, a historical figure. But now He's real to my soul. Now I delight in Him. Now He's so attractive to me. I want Him. I love Him. Having not seen, I see Him as precious. You see, for the first time, the rejected one is altogether beautiful and lovely and desirable and attractive and awesome. He is marvelous to the heart where the eyes have been opened to see. He's not marvelous in the builder's eyes, the Jew's eyes, the world's eyes, the religious man who goes to church every Sunday and he's bored and he sits through the sermon and he can't wait to get out. to get to watch the football game. The guy sits through church and he puts on a good face and he can act the part, but he's not interested in Christ. His heart has no love for Christ. He has no passion for Christ. He doesn't want spiritual reality. He wants to go through the motions to get it over. He has no vision of Christ. Christ isn't marvelous to blinded eyes, but to eyes that have been opened to see. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says it perhaps best. Now think about this verse. Meditate on it this afternoon, if you would. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. Now think of this. The world's in darkness. All men are in darkness. When light shines, doesn't it usually shine not out of darkness, but into the darkness? Right? But this verse says, the light, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. So here's spiritual light. Paul's talking about the gospel that men were blind to. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest they, the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts and reveal Christ to them. Has Jesus Christ with spiritual reality been revealed to your heart? Be honest. Just say, if it's not true, just say, no, I'm not a Christian. That's never happened to me. Paul says, this spiritual light, like at creation, when God shined light, and suddenly the darkness was dispelled. Paul says, this gospel light that reveals the Lord Jesus Christ shines where? Into our heart. And it gives something. It gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This means when that light shines in your heart and God awakens you, suddenly before your eyes and your heart, Jesus Christ is real and He's glorious and He's bright and He's wonderful, and your heart says, this is marvelous in my eyes. Is that really true of you? It either is or it is not. Have you ever known this? John chapter 6. Jesus said this, everyone who looks upon, that is, sees the Son and believes on Him has eternal life. Here's questions for you. Answer them in your heart. As I ask them, answer these in your heart. Is Jesus Christ marvelous personally to you? You know if He is or not. You know if He is or not. Is Jesus Christ marvelous to you? Have your eyes been opened to see the beauty, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Has spiritual light, true light from God, shone into your heart, showing you the knowledge of the beauty of Jesus Christ? And as Peter said in Acts 4, I'll say this morning, men, women, boys and girls of Providence Chapel, hear these words. Look with me in 1 Peter 2 again, everyone. And if you don't have a Bible, just listen close. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. Peter says, as in coming to Him, as you come to Him. Who? This cornerstone. This cornerstone. He's a living stone. As you come to Him, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Here's the question. Have you come to this stone? Have you come to the stone? If you run into a brick wall, you know you ran into a brick wall, don't you? If you meet God in Jesus Christ, you ultimately will know you have as coming to Him a living stone. Has that stone that's immovable stopped you in your pursuit of your spiritual darkness and your insane path of sin? Has that stone stopped you? Peter says it's coming to him a living stone. He's rejected by men. Guess what? This world will always reject Jesus Christ. Always. He will be a laughingstock. He will be a joke. He will be used by the media, sometimes in movies, to try to get more money. His name will be blasphemed all the time. This world will always reject Him. Always. Rejected by men, but in the sight of God, He is precious. He's the chosen chief cornerstone. Now notice this. Look at verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones. Here's believers, those who've seen beauty in Christ as living stones being built up into a spiritual house. Verse 6. It stands in Scripture, I am laying in Zion a stone. This is God laying in Zion in the church of Jesus Christ throughout all history. He has laid a stone, and that stone is His Son. A cornerstone, chosen and precious. And listen to this. Here's a free offer to come to that stone. Whoever, does that include you? Does that include you? Whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame, will not be ashamed. But you know, there's another place in the New Testament that talks about the stone. We hadn't referred to it yet. Here it is. Matthew 21. Jesus said this, the one who falls on this stone will be broken. The one who falls on this stone will be broken. That means you must come to Jesus Christ and be broken before Him. And let Him, with His grace and His power and His glory, let His person change you. You have to be, you're unbroken if you're in your sins. You have to be broken over your sin and bow before Him and yield and fall upon that stone, Jesus Christ, who will break your rebellion. He'll break your sin's bondage, and you'll be transformed. But that's not all the verse. You know what the rest of it says? But the one, presuming, who won't come to that stone and be broken upon it, the one upon whom this stone falls will be crushed, will be ground to powder. Every person in history will either fall on the stone, Jesus Christ, and be broken in repentance and will find healing and salvation, or they will find their lives crushed under the weight of the wrath of God, and they'll be ground to powder. There will be no escape. What will it be for us? What will it be for you? The rejected stone has become the chief cornerstone. Is it marvelous in your eyes? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that Jesus Christ is evidently set before us right here in Mark 12. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Lord, it is marvelous in many of our eyes. Oh, the beauty that's in Christ. Lord, make it marvelous in all of our eyes. Open the eyes of the blind to see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, may every heart truly believe and find Him precious. is our prayer in His name. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 137 in closing.